You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Natalia Vojosevic. She's talking to me from Montenegro. Natalia, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So Natalia, we're going to talk about your work, your curating, and your as well as your artistic practice. But tell me a little bit about Montenegro. Why are you there, and where are you exactly there?
I'm currently in Montenegro because that's my home country. Montenegro, I don't know how much you know about it, is a Mediterranean small country, very small, 500,000 people, and it's the smallest republic of former Yugoslavia, Socialistic Federative Republic Yugoslavia, and it's now Republic of Montenegro, as Yugoslavia fell apart.
And it has a very unique position in the world. And so, what are you working on at the moment right there? I'd like to talk about your artistic practice, but also about your curating. So, tell me a little bit about what you're working on in both fields. What's happening now?
What's happening now is I just came back from Serbia, where I set up one new work for exhibition, a Biennale of contemporary art that has 30th edition this year. And in my artistic practice, I work with memory, archives, and speculative constructions that I make from objects that I usually find in public space, or I can see in public space that all belong to some aesthetics or material reality of former socialistic society. It's usually installation art, and this time I did it in one vitrine window in public space.
So tell me about that. Let's go into that vitrine window. What exactly was in the window? I'd like to hear more about that.
With vitrine windows in former Yugoslavia, everywhere where I travel and go, remind me on our collective experience and practice. And because you can wherever you go, you can see this abandoned window shops and abandoned factories, abandoned society moments with really similar, because socialism was so, designed to be the same everywhere in some form. And so you can see a lot of these artifacts and remains everywhere. So I decided to put a little speculative installation of little mirror stairs, archive photo in the shape of curtain, and
in the shape of what?
Curtain.
Okay.
So yeah, it's something that I would say practicing neuroplasticity, because I always reshape and shape this installation, trying to make a new relationship between these objects and trying to make them live again in intention, speculative intention of, making this collective conscience and the collective body of socialism alive again through this installation.
And so, in the installation, tell me a little bit more what was in there. This was one storefront, one vitrine, or were there multiple vitrines?
Yes, one between the city center, one between window that belonged to one bookstore. So it's only one wing of this window, and it's made of curtains, mirror, and vitrine interior as itself, and archive photographs. of a boy and a girl from a post-war Yugoslavian socialistic archive, where young boy and young girl playing chess while their friends are watching their game.
And so these are, this is a kind of typical example of how you would approach an installation with your work. And in further iterations, you'd be continuing to use archival material?
I often use archival material, but also combining it with materials from everyday life, especially materials from interiors that that are somehow connected with this experience of a former society. But recently, I also work with aesthetics of neoliberal predatory architecture and system that now covering our history in urban landscape, because what we experience here in Montenegro is a really radical neoliberal colonization of natural space and extreme corruption and the complete fall apart of something that would be, you know, body of society that we used to have.
And so this is, you know, of course, a big part of what's affecting everything there. Maybe we should talk about your curatorial work too, which of course is in the same context to some degree. What are you working on, or we could talk about a recent project and how that's changed perhaps in the lockdown, because I don't know what's happening in Montenegro in the lockdown. We didn't discuss that yet, but in terms of the pandemic, what's happening there now? We're talking on Wednesday, October 14th, and we still seem to be in the middle of it.
Oh, Montenegro, we really have a good story about lockdown and corona, because Montenegro is so small and we really depend on tourism, because we have this amazing nature here, mountains and a seaside, and it's really beautiful. So tourism is our biggest thing for economy. And that's why we have really harsh lockdown in March, April and May. And we didn't have actually many people registered with COVID. But lockdown was really radical and heavy. And then we proclaim a corona-free state, first European corona-free state, in our government, of course, in intention for inviting tourists to come back. And but that didn't happen. In the meantime, we also had the elections and our government fell down the first time after 30 years. And then now we are first COVID positive state in Europe by numbers. So we came from corona free to corona all country in very, very short periods of time. And now we are fighting with it. It's like everybody else. It's chaos. It's amazing. It's crazy.
So I don't understand. You're the first country in the European Union to be corona free, but then you're saying it went the other way. Everybody yes. had it. I mean,
now we are first country by numbers of registered people. We are like we have largest number on the statistically.
Why is that? Because you're so small, the country's smaller, why is that?
We had some also protests. Last year we had this political change. It's really new, radical and complicated. So we had some protests and celebrations because of all this. And then they opened the borders, invited people to come, because of tourism and because they proclaimed country corona-free. Everybody felt like corona is gone. Nobody where and protection, so everything went to hell in the really short period of time. So that's where we are now, yeah.
Right. And so tell me a little bit about curating that's happening now or that you're planning. What are you thinking of in terms of curating?
Well, my curating, it's also really often combined with researching archives, especially archives of socialism and approaching them from the point of contemporary art and research. I did an exhibition on anti-fascistic movement of women during the World War II and after in Yugoslavia. And I also worked for Goethe Institute on one exhibition that examined life in the Nazi prisons and forced labor during the World War II from perspective of contemporary art. And now I'm working on one exhibition that is going to happen next year. It's called Future Ecologies with British Council and Lux Foundation from London in collaboration with several Balkan countries, including Montenegro. It's mostly about current dystopia and ecological catastrophe and canceled futures. And it's mostly based in moving images.
Wow. So how is that happening right now? Do you want to talk about somewhere where that's manifesting at the moment? Like, what's next in that? What can listeners or visitors, you know,
now we are
further
talking about because we postponed, of course, exhibition for next year. Now we are trying to find ways how can we communicate with audience over online announcements and the education program and other things like everybody else, because most of the programs that are happening in galleries are cancelled, so everybody's moving programs online. But I think that is also starting to be interesting things, because a lot of things online started being really, really creative and interesting, and it's maybe also the new way for easier connecting with other people and colleagues, especially when we're talking about some exchange of art theory and discussions about some common problems and ideas that we have here in region or general. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I think that a lot of connecting is happening because all of this, and a lot of forced creativity is happening. But I also feel like it's going to bring a lot of new and interesting things, especially in the field of communication and connecting all over the world.
You mean it's kind of all that's happening, all that's changing in terms of how we meet and exchange information virtually now? You're saying that is what you think will be kind of changing in the future, or that's what's here to stay in terms of curatorial and research practice?
Yeah, I think it's already changing, especially field of education, field of communication, and a way of learning. Because I think that this half of the year of moving things online is already showing that this online communication actually has some good things to offer. Of course, it's really important to be able to talk with people and meet with people and see things in on site, but I think it's also really this is really easy way for new platforms to rise, and I think a lot of new platforms and new podcasts, new shows about contemporary art are here are rising that we didn't have in that amount before. So I think it's like kind of rising a new scene with all this situation. That I maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm noticing around.
Yeah, I like that. I think that may be the case, that something is changing quite dramatically there. And so what else are you seeing? Perhaps just to ask one more question about curatorial or just the life of culture of artists in Montenegro. Are you seeing changes in terms of what artists are making or producing in the last several months of this year of 2020?
Well, I don't think that something like that is visible, but also I'm going back that I see online a lot of things, and I've been able to see much more work from people recently online in presentations or new work that I didn't have opportunity to see while I was concentrated on visiting exhibitions and things on site. So now I have much more information actually about work of people that I knew before. And I don't see, and I don't think it would necessarily be good to see new works now, and especially works considering or referencing COVID or something like that. I would like to see new ideas that are coming from this situation, more poetry, more love, more solidarity, more ideas of collective future for everybody, and more ideas how to fight neoliberalism that are or common enemy, I would say.
Yes, I agree. I certainly agree. Well, it's wonderful talking to you. Thank you, Natalia. I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
At the moment, I'm reading a lot of poetry, and I also read Biffo Berardi, Breeding Poetry and Care, that was published in 2018.
Natalia, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. I wish you well with your artistic practice, your curatorial practice, and everything else. Thank you for talking with me today.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.